I want to see what a joy it is to be here once again in Kalkeel. And certainly, at times I feel like the Apostle Paul before King Agrippa, Bernice, and the principal men of the city. He says, I think myself happy, King Agrippa, for I shall speak of myself, of the things which I'm accused of the Jews. I think I am happy today because I could stand to represent our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And the Apostle Paul says it's a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, and he said, I am chief. Well, one of the Indians, that's an American expression, chiefs and Indians. One of the Indians got saved. That's me. Okay, brethren. But my desire is to speak on foolishness. Foolishness. My father had an expression that he used to say when you said something, he would say, oh, foolishness, man. Foolishness. We have a prime minister in St. Kitts. When they ask him certain things, he says nothing but nonsense and foolishness. Well, I want to speak a foolish message this evening. And we want to turn to some scriptures. 1 Corinthians. And chapter 1. And reading from verse 17. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Not with words of wisdom, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us who are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribes? We are the disputers of this world. Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jew requires sign, and the Greek seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jew a stumbling block, unto the Greeks foolishness, but unto them which are called, both Jew and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. I want to stop right there. And one more verse in 2 Corinthians and chapter 2 and verse 1 and 2. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech, of the wisdom declaring unto you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and him crucified. I want to begin here in chapter 2. The testimony of God. God have a testimony. And God's testimony is in relation to his Son, our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And the cross of Christ took place. He died on the cross. He was crucified. It tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3 and 4, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. The truth of the crucifixion of Christ is something that cannot be denied. that Christ suffered for our sins. That Christ suffered from the hands of men. He was spat upon. His beard was plucked. He was crowned with thorns. He was scourged. All the trials that the Lord Jesus went through, they said he was led as a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before shears his dumb, yet still he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? For his life was violently cut off from the earth. And we read in the book of Acts, when the Ethiopian indeed was there in the desert, and the Spirit of God took Philip down to meet him, and he was reading the book of Isaiah, and he says, "Of who speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or some other man?" And he opened up the scriptures, and he preached unto him Jesus, that Jesus suffered. That Jesus suffered for our sins according to the scriptures. When you read in the book of Acts, it says in chapter 1, of after he showed himself of many infallible proof, it was brought to us yesterday, witnesses. After his passion, after his suffering from the hands of men, indeed man nailed him to a cross, and he crowned him with thorns, and said to God, "We will not have this man to reign over us," and sent him out of this way. But what we want to dwell on today and this evening is how God used the foolishness of preaching to save us who are saved. And how men look at this cross is nothing but foolishness. But God is saying to us, the gospel, the testimony of God, is about the death and burial and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. That God indeed has sent a savior into the world. That Christ came, not that he should live, but he came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Look at him as he walked through this life. "Never man," they said, "spake like this man. What gracious words proceeded out of his mouth? What man of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him." He was special, but he was sent from God. And now it tells us here, God says, "I want you to know about this testimony." You see, in the gospel, God don't explain the cross. It's in the epistles. When you get into the book of Romans, where God brought in man, and indeed in his courtroom, so to speak, and indeed God is there on his throne, and the Apostle Paul is used as a prosecutor, indeed bringing evidence against every, indeed, one of us to prove that we have sinned and come short of the glory of God, that there is none righteous, no, not one. And now God have this the Apostle Paul as this prosecutor, and has brought in men, indeed, of all color, all race, every place, indeed, into God's courtroom. And then, indeed, the verdict came in. Guilty. All guilty before God. But you know what? God is so wonderful, and we are talking about him in these few days. So wonderful. The prosecutor brought us in guilty. And I tell you, saints, You ever see a prosecutor indeed trying to prove and brought the evidence against a man? As he started, you see the man had just going down. I was in court. Caught a young guy with something. And the prosecutor, man before the judge, started to bring the evidence why we have to bring him in guilty. And the little boy just hang his head in his hand and begin to cry, because the judge didn't even mention the verdict. And as it were, the judge just fold his arms, and it's like he's saying, "Boy, you going to jail. You going to jail." And the young boy just there. But then his mother took the stand, and his mother began to cry, "Your Honor, I tried the best with this boy. I don't know what to do." Next thing you know, the police women were crying. Everybody took out their... Next thing, the judge began to cry. And the prosecutor looking at me, "What is there? This is a church.
This is a prison. This is a courthouse. And the judge said to the individual, I will send you home with Mr. Baptiste. The prosecutor came outside and said to me, what went on in there? What went on in there? We think it's some church. This is a court. We have to bring in this man guilty. Not this judge, you know. This judge's judgment is according to truth. It says just and it's righteous when God brings in a man guilty. Indeed, you are guilty before God. And no matter where you are, God has brought in evidence to prove that man is guilty before him. Now, the prosecutors pronounced and brought it in. The judge said guilty. But what happens now? The judge, indeed, as it were, the Apostle Paul, turns as a solicitor. Nice English word. Indeed, he calls him an attorney. He turns now to plead, not on behalf of the accused, on behalf of the judge, to tell, indeed, the accused, that the judge has provided something for you. You could imagine this. The judge who pronounced you guilty is now providing something for the accused. And now he's telling him, listen, now proven you're guilty, proving you are unrighteous. Now the judge has provided an righteousness for unrighteous men. He has produced a pardon for you. Indeed, and what it is, he's now presented this to the accused and saying to them, listen, it's unto all. This is unto all men. But it come upon those who accepts, indeed, as it were, the judge's offer. A young man, I go to the prison all the time. We just had the prison officers came to the assembly for a service. The prime minister came too. And we said, we are not going to let him take the stand. Because they like to talk, you see. When they get there, they want to show off themselves. So I said to him, in my message, I says, listen, the prime minister is the head of this country. But we are talking about the head of the universe. And now we are going to magnify him. And make him, indeed, he is extolled in this place. See, he was taking notes. See, because they want an opportunity to say, what they want to say. But we had planned already. He will sit and hear the word. And he did sit. And he did hear it. But the point is this. This young man, I went to court, in the prison they have a little panel, and I was pleading for a young man. I says, listen, if prison is to reform a prisoner, no, I don't believe in it. I believe in regeneration. I believe God can transform a man's life. He's not patching it up. He's not reforming him. We believe that when God picks up a man, he is completely regenerated. Any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. But we have to deal with this life. So I sit and listen, this young man has been a model prisoner. He comes to the service. I think you should consider taking off some time. One of the officers was very hard. Says, no way. He will make every year, every month, every week, every hour, every minute. Just like that. But in the service, I says, Superintendent Connor and I have had some debates about setting a prisoner and cutting off his time. And he refused to show compassion. He refused to open the door and help that boy who has done wrong and saw his wrong and is sorry for it, to show him some mercy. And he closed the door. He says, no, every time. Not with God. The Bible says, a broken and a contrite heart God will not despise. God will that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all may come to repentance. It is a joy in heaven over all repentant sinners. And it tells us, you know, there is joy there in God's presence. And when the Apostle Paul preached in the book of Acts chapter 20, he says, listen, I presenting to you repentance towards God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Imagine this God, indeed who is righteous and just and indeed holy, indeed now has found a way, indeed that the sinner could be forgiven and remains a just and righteous God. I tell you, that's wisdom. That's wisdom. Is that foolishness? But to others, it's foolishness. And God is saying, I want to present, I want to clothe you, because a sinner is naked. Naked before God. God said, I want to clothe you in my righteousness. And the thing is this. There was another young man whom someone paid the fine for him. Paid the fine. And they told him, listen, you could leave. He says, why? He says, somebody paid the fine. He says, I don't want that person to pay nothing for me. So I stay right here. That is also a dilemma. Where God in Christ has met the demands of a righteous and holy God for you and I. And all God is saying, listen, you have nothing to pay. It's not by works which we are saved. It's by grace are we saved. Through faith, not of ourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. God is, and he says this, is not by works of righteousness which we have done, but is according to his mercy he has saved us by the washing of regeneration and by the renewing of the Holy Spirit. It's not by works. And here it is, the Apostle Paul presented this. And he says, that's the gospel of God. That's the testimony of God about his son. He has provided a way of escape for us. Now, in chapter 1, the Apostle Paul says, listen, I didn't come preaching with all this wisdom of men words and big speeches and big words and what's not, you know, letting people know that I have arrived and I've been to university and what's not. He says in verse 18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us who are saved, it is the power of God unto salvation. There are two sets of people here. There are those who are looking at the gospel as foolishness. And those who are seeing it as the power of God, the wisdom of God. You know what is very striking? God is saying here, in the book of Genesis, chapter 6, and I believe it's verse 13. God says, the end of all flesh is come before me. Do you know that wasn't fulfilled until the cross of Calvary? The end of all flesh has come before God. Man in all his person. Man who feel he is all this intelligent being. Man who believe he is all this wisdom. Imagine man has put a module on planet Mars. I think that's fantastic. I says, what wisdom? Man now is going to send something out to dig a hole and get some dirt and bring it back to planet Earth. That's wisdom. I think that's marvelous. I would love to go to the moon. I would love to walk on the moon and look back at planet Earth. Man have done that. But God says man is bankrupt. Man is in ruin. Man is destitute. And God said, listen, man in all his brilliance and man in all his intelligence is not good enough for God. And God said, you know what I did? I brought an end to him at Calvary's cross. I finished with man. And what God is doing, God is bringing in another man. And it's the man Christ Jesus. There must be a transfer, you know. In Adam, all die. In Christ, all shall be made alive. If you are in Adam, you're going to die. You are going to die. But if you're in Christ, you are going to be made alive. And now God is saying, when you present this to intelligent people, they says foolishness. There was a doctor in our meeting in New York. His colleagues, a lot of the brothers, went out to be doctors, MDs. One returned One. And I'll call his name, Brother Cyrus. Dr. Cyrus, sorry. He returned. And you know what he said to me? He says, Brian, when I was going back to the meeting, his friends said to him, Cyrus, how could you be so intelligent? How, you are a scientist. How could you believe this book? How could you believe that a man dying on the cross is going to save you? How could you believe indeed on the virgin birth? How could you believe in a sinless life? How could you believe a man rose again from the dead? How could you believe that? It is foolishness to people, intelligent people. But God is saying, listen, I am going to destroy their wisdom. I'm going to destroy their intelligence. How God did it? He did it in the cross. Because you see the way God moves. You know how we'll destroy it? We will go and destroy the formulas and destroy the equations and destroy the universities. God says, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to do it at the cross and show indeed how empty man is. Because all that you acquire is for this life. You cannot take your PhD with you. You cannot take what you have acquired in this life with you. You can only take Christ. This is what the Apostle Paul is saying. He says, not only so. He says, he tells us, for it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. I like this verse. Verse 21. For after that, in the world, sorry, for after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Now, I want to link this verse 21 to the incarnation of Christ. He came into this world. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh. God was seen. Yes, he was here. Indeed, the eternal Son, the eternal life, which was with the Father, was manifested unto us. God walked on planet Earth. Indeed, brethren, when you think of it, indeed, he's the image of the invisible God. And now the world, with all its wisdom, couldn't detect that this was God over all, blessed forever, the creator of the ends of the earth, the one who upholds all things by the word of his power, he who is the brightness of the Father's glory, the express image of his person. They couldn't discern that, and they moved about here. And you know, God saved, you know, the Lord Jesus called fishermen. Fishermen went down and called fishermen. A lot of people have got saved in Kalkil. Just go down by the port and call them simple people. And they came and they turned the world upside down for the Lord Jesus Christ. The world by wisdom knew not God. It says, for it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. You know, there's a verse in Jeremiah. Chapter 9 and verse 23. Thus said the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. But let him that glory in this, that he understand it, and know it me, that I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness and judgment and righteousness in the earth. For in these things do I delight, saith the Lord. This is what God delights in. God delights in many things. We know of a brother who had four PhDs. Four of them. What a brain. What a brain. It says, what brilliance. I only have the P. He have a PhD. Brilliance. You say, look at this. But you know, when you look at this, it says, how could I come to surrender my life to Christ. Naaman had the same problem. When the maid said to Naaman's wife, there is a prophet in Jerusalem who could heal your husband of his leprosy. Naaman got letters and went down to the king. And the king says, you see, they're trying to pick a fight with me because now they come down here saying, indeed, I could heal this man. Elisha said, tell him to come. He came down and Elisha said to him, go tell him, dip in the Jordan. You know why? Men of intelligence have to humble themselves. They have to come very low. This is the simplicity of the gospel is what worries man. If I had to do something for God, he feels yes. But God says, I don't want you to do nothing. All you have to do, accept it. And you have to humble yourself. You have to come. So Naaman went out and he says, he got angry. I thought the prophet would come out and do something, you know, drastic and cause fire or something to happen. And I would be healed. And he leave in a huff and a puff and going on his way. But one of his servants had some wisdom, some intelligence, master. If you tell it to do some hard thing, would you do it? All he said is go in the Jordan and live 7 times. And he says, yeah, okay. He went and he dipped. And after he came up 7, he was clean. Wow. Look at this. That is what men don't like. Don't like where they have to set aside their intelligence. And recognize that, listen, the claims of Christ is upon a person's soul. What will you do with Christ? What will you do? And now, what should I do? It happened to King Agrippa when the Apostle Paul presented the message to him. And he says, listen, God has sent me to turn them from darkness to light. From the power of Satan to God, that they might receive the forgiveness of sins and have an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith. And Festus said, Paul, much learning not made thee mad. He thought Paul was mad. But Paul says, I'm not mad, most noble Festus, but speak it for the words of truth and soberness. The king before whom I speak knoweth of these things. Oh yes. You know what? You think, King Agrippa, you're almost. Indeed, you think by this little persuasion, you will turn me a Christian. But if he did, he had to humble himself and realize there's a greater king than him. And this is what happened to man. Man cannot. Many. That's why many nobles are not called. Because they have to humble themselves and recognize they are bankrupt in spite of all you may acquire and all you have. You need to surrender to Christ. This man died in Texas. Billionaire. And the big fight was how much he left. How much he left. And at the funeral, they asked the preacher, he told you, his family told you how much he left. Could you tell us how much he left? He says, yes, I could tell you. He left everything. He cannot take nothing with him. And the Apostle Paul came into the good of it. And he says, those things that were gained to me, I count but lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. And I count them but refuge that I may win Christ. So when we present this cross before men, don't expect the intelligent and those who have gone on in higher learning to turn, because when they turn, they have to bow, they have to acknowledge. Indeed, listen, I need the Lord Jesus Christ. To the Jew, a stumbling block. That can't be my Messiah. My dentist in the States is one of the Orthodox Jew. And I said to him, Dr. Krupka, your Messiah came, you know. He says, Brian, not yet. He says to me, there's a remnant right now that God has secured waiting for him. That's that. He tell me that. I says, wow, sir, very impressive. Very impressive. I said to him, what about Isaiah chapter 53? He says, that's not about the Messiah. I turn him to the book of Jeremiah. I turn him to other scriptures, the Psalms. He says, Brian, you're confused. Then I turn to John's Gospel chapter 10 and talk about the good shepherd. He says, no, the good shepherd is Moses. But I said to him, I says, Dr. Krupka, your Messiah has come. He says, Jesus cannot be my Messiah. Stumbling block. The Jews seek a sign. We must have signs. They had too much. Even the Lord says, no, they have no cloak for their sins because he's been here. He showed them up. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as receive him, to them give he power to become the children of God. Christ, the Jew, stumbling. We have a brother who is a Jew. Well, I would say was a Jew. Because when you turn to Christ, you lose your distinction. So now he is a Christian. He's a saint. He's a disciple. He's a child of God. He's a son. Yeah, he has come unto that. And I tell you, when you look at him, I says, boy, the word of God. The word of God from every tribe, every tongue, every people. God is saving people. And to see a Jew in the meeting. Huh? Larry Rosen. What a name. Yeah? What a name. And he says, what is he doing there? He humbled himself. And he realizes Messiah has come. And he embraced him. Yeah? To the Greek, man, foolishness. Foolishness, it says, it tells us, for to the Jew requires sign, and the Greek seek after wisdom. After wisdom. I've been to Mars Hill, you know. I stood on Mars Hill. And I taught myself privilege. I stood where the Apostle Paul spoke. That message in the book of Acts chapter 17. To the unknown God, him declare I unto you. And he talked about this God who is self-sufficient. This God who is omnipresent. This God who is omniscient. This God who is, listen, omnipotent. He presents him to them. He says, this is the unknown God, the creator. The heavens declare the glory of God. And the firmament showeth his handiwork. Night after night uttereth speech. Day after day showeth knowledge. Saints, indeed, the blessed truth is this. Here it is. Man has so much wisdom. And God is saying, imagine, I can go and stand on this same place the Apostle Paul speak. And the brother said to me, listen, why you don't preach it in English? I says, I need an interpreter. Because most of them was other tongues, we would say. But this is what it is. The Greek philosophers, they were men of learning. But God says, foolishness. Foolishness when it comes to the cross of Christ. When you compare, you says, what is this? If I accumulate everything in this life and miss out on my soul salvation, miss out on accepting Christ as my Savior, your life was not worth living. What? No. Not worth living. Because he says, what is it? What it was for? It was just an existence that you live your life for yourself and you never take into account. Indeed, my life in relation to God. God has provided a way of escape. It says, to us who are saved, it's the power of God unto salvation, delivering us not only from the penalty of sin, delivering us not only from the power of sin, but in a day to come from the very presence of sin. And he tells us here that deliverance from this present evil world in the book of Galatians. He gave himself that we may be preserved and be delivered from this present evil world. This world is wicked. And it tells us here that the Greek is going to say, forget about that. And out a track to this chap. And he said to me, what is this? What is this? I says, a tract about the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, listen here. Don't infringe on my constitutional rights. Okay? My constitutional rights is, I don't need this. There was one chap, we were handing out tracts, Gospel of John, a book similar like this. He opened it and he tore it and he threw it on the ground. Foolishness. Talking about this, Jesus saves. Jesus is coming back again. And this Jesus rose again from the dead. Do you believe that? Do you really believe that? Do you believe the testimony of God? Do you believe the testimony that God has given of his son? That his son came into this world, became a man, God became a man. He lived here. He died for our sins according to the scriptures. That he was buried and that he rose again from the dead, ascended into heaven, and he's coming again. Do you believe that? You believe that Jesus really will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise, and we who are alive shall be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air? Do you believe that? Do you believe that Jesus really is going to come in a coming day to rule and to reign on this earth? Indeed, right now he has been rejected, but God has highly exalted him and given him the name that is above every name. That at that name of Jesus, every knee is going to bow. Every tongue will confess that he is Lord to the glory of God the Father. I'm waiting on that day. But right now, this is where the decisions are made. Is this message foolishness? Or is this message from God? You have to. That's your decision. I'm not going to twist nobody's arm. Our job is to present this wonderful message. But some people still saying it's foolishness. You know how much tracts was given out yesterday? People have no more time. If I will call for you a more convenient season, when I'm ready, I'm going to come. Right now, I'm not for that. But I guarantee you this. To us who are saved, it says, but we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jew, that's verse 23, unto the Jew a stumbling block, unto the Greek foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jew and Greek, Christ the power of God and Christ the wisdom of God. You know, as I sit sometimes and meditate and think about how God went about to accomplish the salvation of men. If the devil knew that nailing Jesus to the cross was his demise, if he knew that putting him there and nailing him and making him a spectacle was his demise, I tell you, he wouldn't do it. He wouldn't do it. But God, in his wisdom, used the very thing of the devil to defeat the devil. He had the power of death. The scripture tells us in the book of Hebrews, but he slew him and destroyed him and annulled him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and delivered us who all our lifetime was subject to bondage. He who held us captive has been taken captive, and we have been set free, and he has been taken captive. Saints, listen, that's the wisdom of God. But if we could go further, and when you talk about, God says about the wisdom of God, what God wants to bring us into, and what God has done for us. Indeed, and you ask God, why? Why you did so? God is going to say, for the delight of my heart. Tell you, God is wonderful. Wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord. A wonderful Savior to me. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock. As the shadows of judgment pass, I'm hid in him. This is foolishness to people. That's why I love preaching. I love preaching a lot of foolishness. So people will realize they have to make a decision. And decision is, do you want God's foolishness or man's wisdom? God's foolishness is the cross. A simple cross. Simple cross. A Jewish friend of mine, we worked together for 13 years. 13 years. I was at Mersh's house. When he got married, I was there. These two boys was like family. When I was going into the mission field, Mersh had me at his house. And Mersh said to me, Brian, give thanks for the meal. I give thanks and end up in the name of the Lord Jesus. And Mersh ate. I share with Mersh and told Mersh about his Messiah. That he has come. Mersh, with tears running down his eyes, he says, Brian, what will I tell my parents if I accept Christ as my Savior? What will I say to my parents? I said, Mersh, that's your decision. But I have shared with you and let you know your Messiah has come and he wants to bring you into blessing now. I said to him, Mersh, you know, anything a Jew hand touch turns to gold. They go into a neighborhood and it blossom. I said, God has blessed you all in earthly things. But I want you to be blessed in heavenly things. Mercy. I still have not surrendered to Christ. My doctor, brilliant man. He said to me, listen, Brian, he said something, he said Solomon has seven wisdoms. So I said to him, I know nothing about Solomon's seven wisdoms. All I know, God give Solomon wisdom according to the Bible. He says, oh, you all Christians don't know nothing. What he did, he divorced his wife. And he picked up a new wife. So I went to tell him his wickedness. I said to him, listen, what you did was wrong. And I show him scripture. He sat back in his seat. And he says, you know, you come in here to condemn me. Solomon had 1,000. I only have 2. And you're coming here to kill me. This is how they reason. This is how they present the case. They know the scriptures. But they will not bow to the Lord Jesus Christ. And the apostle Paul had to be knocked down to the ground. Because he was learnt at the feet of Gamaliel. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. Touching the law, blameless. Doctor of the law. Indeed, and he says, touching the law, blameless. He had much to be proud of. But God, the Lord Jesus, humbled him. Humbled him. What will you have me to do, Lord? And this is where all of us have to come. Come and surrender and humble ourselves just like Naaman. Huff and puff. But he had to humble himself. You have to come to Jesus just as you are. Just as you are. And say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. But you died for my sins.
to die for my sins. And the Bible says that if you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. It's repentance towards God. It is where you recognize, I am sorry for my life. I realize I've sinned against God and I've been brought in guilty. But God is sending an overture and letting you know, listen, you don't have to die in your sins. You don't have to go to that place where the worms dies and not quench. Because just lately, the Pope said there is no hell. He says that is just only in your mind. But I tell you, listen, you just read the book of Revelation. When the sea gave up the dead at the white throne, when men were just suspended in midair, heaven and earth flee away from his presence, and there was no place for them. It means no place to stand. They're just suspended in midair. Where will you run? There's no place to hide because you're open and naked and bare before God. And now you have to give an answer. Have to give an answer. I tell you, I would like to hear some men. One of them is Scotty. Scotty used to say, boy, if that Jesus come on this block, he was my mechanic. If Jesus come on this block, I run him off the block. Run him off. And if he stay too long, you see what happened. That's how he used to speak. Scotty died on the road. Scotty fell down right in the road 3 days after he said that to me. Scotty died of a heart attack when the ambulance came to rush in and they met Scotty. Scotty was dead. And I said to my brother-in-law, let men speak about Jesus. I am not no Muslim, have to go and kill people because they speak bad about Jesus. He could defend himself. Could defend himself. He can defend and he's merciful. But I tell you this. Scotty died on the same street he spoke against the Lord Jesus Christ. And I says to my brother-in-law, that's a warning. God set men as warning and God set men as examples. To him, it was foolishness. Foolishness, what did Jesus you're talking about? And the coming of the Lord, where is the sign of his coming? Since our fathers fell asleep, we've been hearing that. Oh, how is this now? One guy says, is he coming a Ford or is he coming a plane? And all kind of jokes they make. But listen this. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us. The thing is this. He that promised that he will come and will not tarry. Saints, it won't be long. It won't be long. We are going home. It won't be long. We are going to see him whom we love. Having not seen, we rejoice with joy, unspeakable and full of glory. I am waiting that day with the songwriter who says, his face I shall see. The one who loved me by his grace. Saints, that is our hope. Our hope, and I will keep on saying it. I am not looking for no undertaker. I am looking for no funeral. I am looking for the upper taker. I am looking for the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I tell my wife, every time I get opportunity to preach, and she there, don't look for no plot for me. Go and get piece of ground and says, look at this here, and this is ours. No, sir. If after I gone, she want to buy it, that's all right. But because I am waiting for the coming of the Lord, and I'm going to hold that promise. Not like one man who bought a piece of land there in Brooklyn, and he says, I bought it right on that tree, and it overlooking the highway, you know, and it will be a nice spot for me. Nice spot. What I want that for? I want to be in the presence of the Lord. When you present these things to people, it's foolishness. You're waiting for the coming of the Lord. One guy says, what are you doing? You're sitting down waiting? Yeah? Waiting. Waiting is an attitude, not an action. Okay? We are waiting for him. And since he will come, so the foolishness of preaching has saved us. But it is going to condemn indeed some. And I trust everyone in this room is wise. And the scripture says, if any man lack wisdom, ask. Ask. And God is going to give you wisdom. He wants you to make the right decision. And may God help you.
help you to know which class you are in. Are you in that class that are called? Are you looking for signs? Do you feel this is too simple? It's simple. Yeah? One man says the biggest word John used in his gospel is condemnation. He says one big, big word, condemnation. John was simple, but John enjoyed the Lord. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. May God help you to make the right decision and identify yourself with those who are called. I say to people, listen, make your decision who you're going to stand with now. Because in a day coming, it will be fully revealed where you are. May God help you. Cause his face to shine upon you and give you peace. Make the right decision. The preaching of this message is foolishness. When I was coming in, I came in Dublin. And I came to the booth with the immigration officer. And she says, where you are going? Says, I'm going to Kelkeel. For what? A Bible conference. Yeah. What Bible? I was shocked. What Bible? I says, a Bible conference, you know, studying the Bible. Did they give you an invitation letter? I had none. But I thought the Spirit of God says, give her the letter of commendation. And I give her the letter of commendation. And she read it. She says, when you're leaving? I said, the 11th. Do you have a ticket? I took it out. Yes, ma'am. And I give it to her. She took the... I said, lady, I've been coming to Belfast many times, Northern Ireland. I didn't ask you that. She says, oh, you came to Belfast. I said, yes, ma'am. She said, where do you live? I said, New York City. But all the things have sent kids. Because if she had asked, continued, I would have said, listen, I'm accustomed to Irish people, you know. All my friends in New York were 75% Irish. And they tell me to go and kiss the Blarney Stone. But she stopped. But I say that to say this. Even to get in here was a hassle. She seems as though she wanted to keep me out. Not the Lord Jesus Christ. To come into God's circle. God has made it as easy as possible. All you have to do is accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Accept the gift of God to you. And indeed just surrender and he will bring you into blessing. Do you want it? It's your decision. Oh, may God help you to know how sweet it is to know Jesus Christ as our Lord and personal Savior. Amen?
Amen.
Since we want to sing that hymn, I don't know if it's in this book.